It's the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 324, and I am your host, Adam Mantham. After 2 weeks off, we're back and we tackle all the big issues, like, is a hot dog a sandwich? And what might we say if we ran into Elijah Bryant on a plane? We also talk Fred Warner in the NFL, softball in the NCAAs, and Jackson Emery's bad day on Twitter. But first up, it's Jerem Jordan of BYU TV. He returns to the show to talk volleyball and quarterbacks. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast. Find this and other great shows at DeseretNews.com/podcast. Follow us on Instagram at BYU_RiseShout. Please subscribe to us on iTunes and listen to Jerem and I talk right now. Welcoming back to the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast after a too long hiatus, which is all my fault, is Jerem Jordan, the man among men at BYU TV. Jerem, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. It's great to be back on the podcast. You're with the Deseret News now. That is big time. Congratulations. And I'm thrilled to be back on the podcast.
Yeah. Well, we're thrilled to have you. I mean, we have, you're still the leader. We just don't have guests. I travel too much for work and it's too hard to coordinate guests when I'm on the road. So we've kind of just gone, it's just Matt and I, and I think people are getting bored because, you know, it's been 300 something episodes of this two brothers yapping. And I guarantee we say a lot of the same things over and over again. So, I mean,
wait, two similarly looking guys / brothers talking frequently, people would get bored. Okay, I need to take notes about this.
Yes, okay. You should. You should take notes.
Hey, as long as I'm guest number two to Greg Rubel in terms of total appearances, I'm good with that. If I happen to pass him,
well,
that wouldn't be the worst thing either.
Would you like to know the tally? Because I have it in front of me. Because I thought you would likely ask. You are now the most frequented guest on the Rise and Shout podcast.
No, I'm not. Get
you
out
are.
Of here.
You are. You are. This appearance puts you in the number one spot. So
Hold on. I got a bucket list. I got to check it off. Hold on.
Yep. Okay, there we go. Bucket done. Woo! All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Jerem. It's been great having
you. Hey, it was great.
Yeah.
It was great. I'd love to see you next week.
Yeah. All right. So... So the first thing I wanted to chat with you about was volleyball. So you do the play-by-play, you follow the team, you talk about them on that show you do. What's that called? BYU Sports Nation? I don't know.
Something like that.
I can't remember. Anyway, so you do all that. Obviously, the volleyball team the past couple of years has fallen a little short of their goal, had great teams. I have had a great run, but obviously we've got a few guys leaving and moving on. What... Is this a disappointing run, or is this just a really good run? They just didn't happen to be able to finish it at the end the last couple of seasons. I mean, how do you think this is going to be viewed over time for this program?
It's both. It's a wildly successful, amazing, enjoyable run of BYU volleyball that's quite unprecedented. They had never gone to three straight NCAA tournaments, as good as all these teams have been over the years. Never three straight. So that trio of Price Jarman, Leo Durkin, and Brendan Sander that leave, that's a big loss. And those guys are the core of that three-year run. Yet, it is disappointing. And let's be honest, the goal is to win the national title. If they don't, it's a disappointment. They've been that good. In fact, Sean Olmstead, two of the last 3 years, when BYU has won the MPSF tournament title, he has given us the trophy. They just don't care. That is a means to an end. They don't put it in the office. They don't look at it. They don't brag about it. It's NCAA championship or bust. And unfortunately, BYU, despite being the most successful NCAA volleyball team in terms of winning percentage over the last 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years, has not been able to cash in on a title since 2004. The pieces are there, but there's one crucial element that in the last 3 years has particularly gone awry, and that is that BYU has not been able to serve with pressure the last 3 years. I thought this year BYU playing at sea level, not playing at Ohio State, Penn State, but rather UCLA, would just launch missiles against a team that BYU had beaten 9 of the last 10 times, and for the first time all year, BYU did not have an ace, and it cost them in the semis.
Yeah, for sure. And it's this, you know, with that group leaving, you mentioned the three that are leaving and obviously have been key components, especially of the last two seasons. Is this going to be a rebuilding year for them, or do you think because of some of the experience that some of the younger guys got, this is going to be a team that will contend and have a chance at a fourth straight NCAA tournament appearance?
I think the BYU's got a legit shot at making it a fourth appearance. Now, next year, Long Beach State is the heavy favorite to repeat because they return their trio of juniors that just won the title, and they host. So the 49ers are definitely the fave. But BYU returns Gabby Garcia-Fernandez at opposite. Fantastic freshman season, ABCA newcomer of the year. Will Stanley's been waiting in the wings to be the setter. You have Cyrus Fa'alogo and Storm Fa'agata Tufunga. Those are two names that I've had to say, I guess, 400,000 times to make sure I master as Polynesians. They're the outside hitters. You have starting middle blockers returning that got some experience behind Bryce German. You've got the same libero. So I think this team, especially with the new conference where it's split and the Big West added, he's got a legit shot to make the tourney a lot more often. Frankly, if it was last year's setup with the tournament, like, it would have been a lot harder for BYU to get into the NCAA tournament. The split aided BYU in getting in, and I think UCLA and BYU and maybe Pepperdine right there, it's that BYU's got a good shot to win the tournament, conference tournament, and get back in, and if they don't, get an at-large. It's a good situation.
Yeah, for sure. So last volleyball question, several of the Cougars are potentially going to be on Team USA. Do you think anybody of that group that's potentially going to be on that junior team, are we going to see any impact from Sander or somebody else on that team during this off season as they participate in Team USA, or do you think that'll be there'll be role players on that team?
Taylor Sander is going to have an impact for sure. He's been a starter ever since he left BYU. In fact, the summer out of BYU, he won the MVP of the World League competition, which is basically the World Championships. They've rebranded that and called it Volleyball Nations League this year. You know, four Cougars in camp trying to make that team. I think Ben Patch has a shot at being the starting opposite. He was leading everybody in kills through 3 weeks last year out of BYU. So Taylor Sander, Ben Patch, probably impact guys. Brendan Sander has a chance to break in. And then Jake Langlois, if he makes the roster, I think that's a good move for Jake. So cool to have those guys rep. And it's all pin hitters, that is, outside hitters or opposites. BYU almost always had, like, a middle blocker in the mix. Maybe Price Jarman emerges at some point in that mix.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to follow them, seeing that the team will have a little bit of a Cougar flavor to it. So that sounded kind of weird, like you're eating Cougars. So that was not my...
It's a Cougar tail, right?
Yeah,
it's the number one assistant, by the way, on that team is Rob Nielsen, who used to play and coach at BYU as well. So there's plenty of, quote, Cougar flavor.
Yes, quote, Cougar flavor. Oh, my gosh. That's a hashtag that we hope doesn't catch on. So
yes, please no.
Yeah, please no. So let's shift to football here for a second. So you and I haven't been on the show since Mr. Grimes was hired as the offensive coordinator. BYU finishes the year, everybody knows it, not well as a football team, and the offense was the primary culprit. As you have, you know, talked to him, talked to the new staff, talked to players throughout spring football, there's lots of, you know, of course, buzz that there's a big change that's happened with, you know, the football team. Are you buying or selling that this is a different mentality, different system, and that there'll be significant improvement, or is this just spring football type of stuff, and then we just have to wait and see?
Two ideas. One is it couldn't be worse, so I'm buying.
Yeah, right.
It really couldn't.
No, like, it was
epically bad.
It was really bad.
The second is that Jeff Grimes is the bad cop that BYU's needed. I love Ty. We all love Ty. We love Ty the player, okay? Ty the coach was a celebrity. He's the Heisman Trophy winner. Like, a celebrity isn't going to hold a bunch of people accountable. He's going to do his thing, right? He's Ty Detmer. Like, I think it was hard for Ty to be a bad cop. And he doesn't want to be a bad cop. That's not in his nature. BYU needed a bad cop because the culture wasn't the best. It got a little lazy. it got a little undisciplined. And to some degree, BYU is still trying to fight that, right? But offensively, I am buying into what Jeff Graham is selling because he has a tremendous resume. He's ready for the moment. He stood across the sideline from BYU and watched them get to the 47 and still wanted to come here. He left the SEC. Like, Jeff Grimes is, he's cobbled together this offensive staff that includes two former offensive coordinators. I like what he's bringing to the table. Now, will BYU have a quarterback good enough to get to a bowl game? Will BYU be able to stay healthy? These are the questions that need to be answered. And I don't know who the quarterback is. We don't even know what kind of offense is because it's been called multiple. A lot of times we've tried to kind of dig in at, okay, what kind of offense? Some people want a catchy nickname, like go fast, go hard. None of that is there. But what will be there is a business-like approach, better O-line play, a stable of running backs with tremendous experience, and a better receiving core, and a bunch of talented quarterbacks. It's just which one can get you to a bowl.
Yeah, yeah. So let's go to that and talk about that piece of the quarterbacks. There's like 85 on the roster at this point. So the question really is, everybody I talk to, whether guests, people I just talked to that have some connection to the program, everybody has a different idea. I have one person that told me, oh, Critchlow's the guy, they absolutely and totally love him. I've had other people say, no, it's Wilson. He's the guy, and they just, you know, couldn't anoint him in spring because they want to, you know, keep him a little humble. Then I've heard, well, it's really Mangum or Bo Hodge. Really, they're the incumbents, and Grimes is an incumbent guy and likes incumbents and you know, will want veteran leadership. So frankly, I'm completely confused, and I have no idea. Do you have any insight as to what we might expect come fall camp, or do you think it's really that wide open that there are four or five guys that legitimately have a chance at starting come that game against Arizona?
Aaron Roderick told us during spring ball, the quarterback coach, that by fall camp, they would whittle the race down to three guys, and that Tanner Mangum would be one of those guys. And so I thought, okay, who's the odd man out? Because you mentioned the other three, right? Joe Critchlow, Bo Hodge, and Zach Wilson.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Jaren Hall comes off a mission. Is he in the mix or not? Because he's crazy athletic, okay? So there's that idea. There's this other idea, too, that Jeff Grimes, when describing at his opening press conference and other times, the kind of quarterback play that he wants, he's described a guy that he wants the ability to run a little bit. That is not Tanner Mangum. So is that a shot across the bow in that regard? I do not think so. I think that he's going to give Tanner Mangum, the incumbent, clearly, every opportunity to win that job. Bo Hodge, if he was healthy and staying healthy, he didn't have a history of injury, I would think would be the front runner, even though he's a career 49% passer or something. Then there's Joe Critchlow. Joe Critchlow won two of his three starts, but lost at home to UMass. That's a pretty big loss and blemish to be just overlook.
Yeah.
And then there's
yeah.
Zach Wilson. How long is Jeff Grimes going to be at BYU? Is he trying to be a head coach after a couple of seasons? He's certainly a guy that is ambitious, wants to be head coach, I would imagine, at some point in the future. Like, if things go really well, I won't be shocked if he jumps ship. So is he at BYU a year, two? Three feels like a lot, frankly. Would he dare throw a freshman in and probably go through some serious growing pains? Like, when has that not happened with a freshman outside of Tanner Mangum? Tanner Mangum had an amazing group of receivers. He completed two Hail Marys. If he doesn't, that's a 7-5 season. And Tanner as a starter is 6-5 if he doesn't complete those two. It's just an interesting situation. What quarterback's going to get you to a bowl game? Because if BYU doesn't go to a bowl game, there's some dudes that need to update their LinkedIn. Like,
yeah,
it could be trouble.
Yeah, yeah. There's no doubt. I'm with you. I'd be shocked if it's Wilson, only because at this point of all the things you laid out in game one. Now, I'm not going to be shocked in game three or four if whoever they decide to go with struggles mightily. That brings the question that a lot of Detmer defenders said before he was let go, which was,
we just don't... Sounds like a Marvel series.
Yeah, Detmer Defenders. Yeah, I think they'd be fun. They'd be nice. They'd be very nice with a very cool Southern Texas accent. My question is, you know, if I'm playing the devil's advocate to this whole situation, is maybe none of these guys that were already on the roster are very good. And that the system, while maybe not great, was not the biggest problem. Now, I'm having a hard time even saying this out loud, Jerem, because it sounds kind of ridiculous to think that, you know, you couldn't at least put a somewhat not terrible offense out, even with a bad quarterback. People do it all the time. But regardless, I mean, is that a viable thing that maybe, I mean, Hodge, we didn't maybe get enough of a look, but that Critchlow and Mangum just maybe aren't up to being a FBS level quarterback, or are we just going to throw this all on the system that Detmer and his staff had and say there's a pretty good chance that one of these guys out of those three, Hodge, Mangum, and Critchlow, that they're actually pretty decent and can put up 3,500 yards in the right system?
There's so many elements of play in this. The schedule is a big one. Like, yeah. I don't see how BYU is going to win more than 7 games this year. If they get to 8, that would be, like, unbelievable. And then you look at, last year, is it hard to win 6 games? I would submit that it is not. If BYU beats UMass at home, it's 16-10, okay? You can't score 17 points at home against UMass. And then the schedule is just too tough. Like, I've been arguing this for a couple of weeks, if not a month or two now, that I'm not sure what the point of these schedules is. So I don't know that no matter who you plugged in there, okay, I don't know if you're going to win more than 7-ish games. This year it's get to a bowl game. And last year, BYU beats ECU, who was giving up 50 a game and 600 yards a game at the time, worst in FBS. If BYU can just win that game and the UMass game, they're in a bowl, and it's really not as bad as we think. Despite the ineptitude of the offense, which, in my opinion, hamstrung Taysom Hill and Jamal Williams the year before and was not perhaps suited to the skills of Tanner Mangum, throw it up, catch it, tall receivers from 2015, and that's been a couple years now. I don't feel like it's that hard to win 6 games. On this schedule this year, I see a possible 7 wins. It's between 5 and 7. So in regards to your theory, I think the BYU's got the quarterbacks to get to a bowl game. If you're looking beyond that, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to your point, looking at this schedule, and Matt and I have dissected it probably 8 times since the season ended, trying to come up with a scenario that seems believable to get 8 wins. And so far we've the only way to do that is to assume one of these teams that was good last year isn't good this year. Right.
Which one do you think?
I just pick one, right? It does. I mean, it's not going to be Washington, I don't think. And it's not going to be Wisconsin. So maybe
Boise State or Utah?
Utah. Yeah. I mean,
Arizona and Cal, if you split there, you're in business.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and who knows? I mean, Arizona and Cal aren't Wisconsin or Washington. But of course, last year, we couldn't beat UMass. So,
And Northern Illinois, sneaky.
Northern Illinois, that's a game that we've got on there as one where the fans are going to, no one's excited about it, and that could be a killer. And then, of course, Boise State on the road, even if they're not a top 25 team, even if they're a top 40 team, that's still going to be a tough win to get, right? Even if BYU is hopefully markedly better. So we'll see. Jerem, I've saved the most important question for the last, which is,
I've been waiting.
Have you seen Avengers Infinity War?
Yes, twice in the first 4 days.
Okay, I did as well. I saw it twice in the first 4 days. At this point, do we have to worry about spoilers? Do you have to worry? Like it's been out, what, like 3 weeks, 4 weeks? Anyway, just tell us what if you liked it.
Did I like it? I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it. It was a great movie.
I love the balance. I love the storytelling. I love like the serious tone it had. I loved the comedy. I loved the terror. I just really enjoyed it. I thought it was going to be tricky to handle all that those different characters and those different story arcs. I mean, 18 movies led into this one. How do you manage all that? But it was fantastic. I loved it.
I was just hoping for mediocre. I was just hoping it was okay. You know, I was just hoping don't be terrible.
You're
and be
hoping
fun.
It was Iron Man 2.
Yeah. Just be Iron Man 2. You know, you don't have to. And of course, to your point, they did a great job. And I just can't believe they keep killing Han Solo in every one of these movies. I mean, it just seems like too much.
Wait, we can say that now? Statute of Limitations.
I would hope so. Force Awakens. How long ago was that movie? I actually said, we were coming out of the theater on, so it wasn't opening night because opening night is now Thursday night, right? So Friday night with my oldest daughter, and we're walking out, and as we're walking out, the movie workers are telling everybody, do not discuss the movie until you get to your car.
Oh, interesting. Too many people were spoiling things.
Well, I asked her, I'm like, so what's the deal with this? And it went back to The Force Awakens. She said on the night The Force Awakens opened, everybody came out talking about how Han Solo died. And it just, as they're walking out past all these people in line. Yeah, totally unintended, right? They're just having a conversation. They're blown away. And of course, messing the movie for everybody else. So speaking of that, are you excited about Solo, a Star Wars story?
I'm going in pretty cautious.
Yeah.
You don't get rid of the directors, the dudes from the Lego movie. What was it? Phil Lord and something else.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't can your directors in the middle of the movie and it turns out to be a great movie.
Probably.
Also,
not.
Ron Howard's way out of his prime, dude. This is like the classic Utah Jazz free agent signing. We got Danny Manning. It's like, he's been good for like 15 years. Like, what good movie has Ron Howard done in the last decade? A Beautiful Mind has been a ways off.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
He was incredible as the director of Willow. Okay, so let's.
Willow ain't walking through that door.
Yeah,
so,
Willow is not walking through that door.
I'm expecting it to be fun, but just an okay film.
Again, if it hits that, I'm okay. Just not terrible. Let's just not drag Han Solo through the mud. I mean, you already stuck him through with the lightsaber. You don't need to take his past and destroy it.
The damage has been done.
Yeah, it's already been done. Well, Jerem, thanks for coming on. Of course, we'll encourage folks to download and listen to your show or watch it live or listen to it live just after they've done the Rise and Shout podcast for that week.
We can all live in the same universe.
That's
like
right.
a certain Marvel movie, Captain America, and I'm Iron Man, and we just coexist, and it's beautiful, and we join up together in the Avengers Infinity War.
That's right, and we don't even have to see each other because we're on different planets. Sweet.
That's exactly right.
That's right. All right.
You were hopefully not on Xandar.
Yeah, not good. Not a good place to be. Well, anyway, thanks, Jerem, for coming on, and we'll have you on again soon.
Thanks, Adam.
So, Matt, we took a couple weeks off. People seemed to be a little annoyed with us even. But, you know, what are we going to do? I mean, I took a vacation with my wife. We've done that, twice since we've had kids. So that was kind of big. And the other piece is...
A little lack of dedication to the podcast there, but that's fine. We all understand.
What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about all the things we would have talked about, we're going to talk about tonight. So I'm not exactly
sure. Is a hot
sure.
dog a sandwich?
By the way, I'm done with it. People keep tweeting it at me. I get it. Most of you believe a hot dog is a sandwich. Just like back in the day, most people thought the earth was flat. And they were wrong. And you know.
Did you just compare people who believe a hot dog is a sandwich to flat earthers? Did that really just happen?
Not current flat earthers. Flat earthers hundreds of years ago.
I'm not equating them to
flat earthers today.
I feel like somehow that makes it worse.
No, it doesn't. It was the prominent. That's the wrong word. It was the prevalent thought prevailing view of the day, and I have decided to move on because I'm losing. What's happening?
I dragged you right back in. You see that?
But I'm
you
losing.
Tried to move on. I dragged you right back in for 30 seconds.
Where did we get somebody recently sent one that was good. I mean, Sweeney, of course, is just continuing to hammer this. He's
like the Baron of the sandwich.
Yeah,
he's the Baron of sandwich.
He wants this to go down, and that's fine. You know, we've a lot of people apparently think I'm wrong. So,
Lord Sweeney of Sandwich,
I declare this the sandwich because my name is Sandwich. All right, so let's open up with a little bit of a tweet bag question.
Tweet bag.
And by the way, before we do that, it was Spencer Thurman who had all those awesome ideas that we totally missed in the podcast. Because he sent it to us as like a mention on the Rise and Shout podcast on Facebook, and apparently I am unable to navigate social media.
So you just don't know how to use Facebook. But you know, they're saying they're going to fix Facebook. I'm sure you've seen the commercials.
Yeah. I saw that with Uber too and Domino's. Everybody's trying to fix, well, Domino's was a couple years ago, but everybody's trying to fix what's broke. You know what's broke with Facebook? It used to be really good, and now it isn't.
Yeah, I don't really even use it anymore.
I don't much either, except for the podcast and a few other things.
And so the crazy like top 20 pictures lists, where it's like, these are 20 people that got owned by life, and then it shows pictures of people in these just absolute disastrous moments. I'm going to admit, sometimes I click on those, and I laugh at them.
That, I think, I don't think this is your best moment on the podcast. But anyway, Spencer did say that he's got this game that he plays, and we'll remind everybody, he tries to do your sound effects before you do your sound effects. So we'll see.
Game on, Terminator.
But Spencer, the question is, do you listen to it at regular speed or high speed? So, because if he's beating you and he's listening to it at 1.5x, that's impressive. That's impressive.
1.5x? That's not impressive.
All right.
If he's playing it at a 2x and beating me, now you got something to talk about.
Now you got something to talk about. All right.
But I have now dubbed him the Terminator.
Well, I have to say my favorite one that he had, of course, was he likes he says where is it? This isn't so much as a show as it would be a few minutes of hilarity. I'd love to hear a compilation of Adam speaking really slowly while he tries to drag out time so he can think of his next point. He does it all the time, and it's hilarious. I have never done that on this show.
I've done it.
No, I do it all the every single episode. I'm sure I do it.
I do stalling stuff all the time. Like, well,
yeah, but I call you out on
question.
It. I call you out on it. So anyway, let's get into the tweet bag, Matt.
Or sometimes I'm just surfing the internet and you're talking for a couple minutes, and then you ask me a question. I'm just like, yeah, that about covers it.
Yep, that's good. That's good, Adam. Good thoughts. Anytime you compliment me, it probably means you weren't paying attention. All right, let's jump into the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
All right, Randy Whittle on Facebook says, is Infinity War a top three Marvel movie for you? Matt, top three?
No. That's it. Am I supposed to elaborate on that?
At this point, probably.
Is it for everyone else? Am I the only person that was like,
did
yeah,
you love it?
I love all of the Marvel movies, but it is not in the top three for me.
I'm not talking about your love of all Marvel movies. So you got top three. Civil War is better.
Civil War is better.
Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier, man, it's probably about the same. Winter Soldier's probably in that realm for me.
Okay, so who else? What else you got above there? Black Panther?
At least one of the Iron Man movies.
That's got to be number one because the other two aren't good enough to be up there.
Right. So okay, we'll go ahead and take number one. Black Panther's probably up there. So that it's easy for me to come up with three right there off the top of my head.
I don't know if it's a top three for me. I really like Winter Soldier is maybe my favorite. It's like this awesome, like, you know, almost like a James Bondian thing on there. But anyway, you can listen to a lot of my thoughts on it on Bleep the Podcast. We did a whole episode post watching of Infinity War, so you can
using our fake names.
Using our fake names. That's right. That was the title.
Oh, we're using our fake names.
Yeah. Andre Hutchins asked this question related, also on Facebook. I've seen hashtag Infinity War twice, hoping for a third viewing this weekend. Which film have you seen in the theaters the most? Hashtag go Cougs. Matt, what movie have you ever seen a movie three or more times in a theater?
No.
That is an incorrect answer.
What movie have I seen three or more times in the theater?
Didn't you and I go to Bourne three times in the theater, the first one?
That's actually probably true.
I think because of Dollar Theater.
And if I had seen any of the Matrix movies, which I have not, because of their rating. Obviously, yeah, I haven't actually seen any of them. But had I seen those, I definitely did see at least one of those multiple times at the Dollar Theater. So if we're counting the Dollar Theater, I'm going to have to go with the first Bourne. At least one, if not two, of the Matrix films. That's probably it, though.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not a big go to the theater multiple times. Now, when it was a dollar and it was Jason Bourne, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I saw the Matrix. I think I saw it 10 times in the theater because of the Dollar Theater. And I saw that movie twice in the same day, which I think that's the only time I've done that in the theater. Again, Dollar Theater, so you know, whatever. Bourne. I've seen, but that has been, now the max I see is three. I'll see a movie three times in the theater, probably because I saw Infinity War twice in the opening weekend. I'll probably end up hitting a third time, but I don't usually go beyond a third.
Yeah, I couldn't even, until you brought up the Dollar Theater, I couldn't even think of a movie I had seen twice in the theater.
Yeah, well. You know, that's because you're not as cool as I am. So, Matt, let's go straight now to the CougarFan.com.
Cougars in the news! Take that, Thurman. Take it, Thurman.
Stop it. You have to wait. You have to wait till I'm done. Oh, time
rule.
It.
There's rules. Oh, see, what's going to happen now is you're going to open up the podcast, and I'm just going to run through, like, I'm just going to go, tweet back, Sweeney. Cougars in the news! And I'm like, all right, it's over, Thurman. Go home. Shut it down.
Sit down, Goodell. All right, so BYU softball, a great story this past week, but they end up making SportsCenter. And why? Because of an unbelievable catch into the dugout, complete with a handstand, to win a 10th straight conference championship. Wow, pretty impressive. What did you think of the catch, Matt?
That's pretty awesome. That is like, that's definitely SportsCenter worthy.
Yeah, and in a year where BYU has basically anything on SportsCenter was probably not going to be a positive, it's been good to have something on there that was a positive. The softball team won 18 of their last 20 games and will play Drake on Thursday, which you can view on Watch ESPN. Thursday afternoon, I think, 4 Mountain, somewhere like that. If you're interested, I'm sure you'll look it up. What am I, a news site? Well, you know, what am I, breaking news here? Other Cougars in the news, we've got Rose Huang, if I'm saying her last name correctly, which I am most certainly not doing. She is going to be representing BYU at the Women's Golf 2018 NCAA National Championships in Stillwater, Oklahoma, starting May 18th, so good luck to Rose, and hopefully she'll do well in Stillwater, which is, you know, I've never been to Stillwater, Matt.
I don't know that I've ever been to Stillwater.
I've driven close, but I haven't been. Sorry, a little.
Is everything okay over there?
Yeah, just
there was like a weird thud, and then your voice got shaky. Is everything cool?
I was getting animated. I was getting animated, and I knocked my headphones off.
The best part is we began recording tonight, which, and we never do this, but we're doing video Skype. And I don't know if you can have you covered up the screen with like the agenda or anything, because I can watch your face right now.
I can watch your face; it's in the corner. So, small best, and out of the way, just like I like your face.
Whatever just fell off your desk or whatever that was the look on your face. And then you tried to like play it off like, oh, nothing happened. And you're like,
yeah, it was terrible. So anyway, so Matt, let's go to the NFL draft with the first pick in the NFL draft. You got to do it again. I talked over you. I couldn't hear you.
Sit down, Goodell.
By the way, the fact that he's still booed every year, every time he walks on stage.
It's like, it is up there with like Christmas traditions.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just something we do. It is one
of the greatest things in the world.
People aren't even sure why they're booing anymore. They just boo them.
It's awesome.
So, Matt, Fred Warner, we predicted he'd go in the fourth, fifth round. We were wrong.
Incorrect.
He went in the third round to the San Francisco 49ers. This is a kind of team that I was hoping he'd get drafted by, which was an up-and-coming young team with a good coaching staff that has, you know, eyes on the prize with, you know, their quarterback, obviously, with Jimmy Garoppolo that they hope they can have some success. And he's coming into a situation where, quite frankly, he's probably second on the depth chart heading into fall camp.
Yeah, which, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that for a guy like Fred Warner.
And third round. I mean, higher than most of the projections had him, which is fantastic.
And that's going to be worth some money.
Money, and it also means, I mean, you have to go out there and perform. But we all know, the higher you're drafted, the more chances you get.
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't guarantee anything, as we've seen with flameouts in every, first and second round, even after a couple of years. But Johnny Football. Yeah, well, you know. But Matt, the interesting thing we I don't have on the agenda here is all these quarterbacks were taken. You and I were not high on any of them. The New England Patriots passed like eight times on a chance to draft what's his face from Louisville. What do you think the chances are that none of these guys are actually a top flight, top five NFL quarterback?
93.2%.
Boy, that's pretty precise.
Yeah, I did some math out. No, seriously, I just don't. None of these guys are franchise quarterbacks. Let's just for a minute look at the teams in the NFL right now. I don't know that every team in the NFL has a franchise quarterback, right?
Of course not.
So statistically speaking, you don't have a franchise quarterback in every draft.
Okay, so top 10 quarterbacks according to ESPN QBR last year. I'm going to go by their names. You tell me if they're a franchise guy. Okay?
All right.
Carson Wentz.
Yes.
I'm going to say yes. Case Keenum.
Negative.
No, he had one good year. Tom Brady. Yes.
Yes.
Dak Prescott of Dallas.
I'm going to say yes to Dak Prescott.
I'm going
to
say that as well. Matt Ryan of Atlanta.
Yes.
Got to say yes, right? Ben Roethlisberger. Yes, in the past, but I don't know that he is now.
He's kind of flaming out.
But, I mean, he was still rated sixth last year, so maybe I'm just wrong. Matthew Stafford.
No.
I'm going to say no. Alex Smith.
No.
Drew Brees.
Yes.
Russell Wilson.
Yes.
Okay, so those are the top 10. Not mentioned because their stats weren't great last year. Cam Newton, is he a franchise guy?
I kind of want to say yeah to Cam.
What about Derek Carr of Oakland?
No.
What about Kirk Cousins, formerly of the Washington?
You like that? You like that?
Wow. He just blew somebody's eardrums out.
Mine I think I just included. Woke up half the neighborhood. Sorry, everybody. Yeah. I just got a note from the HOA to quiet down.
Yeah, you did. Eli Manning. No! Eli Manning. And the Giants didn't draft a quarterback! Eli Manning. That's fantastic. Sorry, Eli. Giants fans. Anyway, so all right. Funny. Back to Cougars who are going to the NFL. Treneman signed with the Cardinals, Matt, but he was already released. I guess we'll see if somebody else gives him a chance. Micah Hanneman with the Browns, Matt. Let's talk about that a little bit. He signs as a rookie free agent with them. I think it's the most important thing they got out of the draft slash free agent signing? Baker Mayfield? Nick Chubb? Who are those guys? Never heard of him.
Nick Chubb's the real deal, dude.
Now
that guy's going to be a player. So he might edge out Mike Hanneman in terms of success in the offseason for the Browns.
So the Browns are a mess at their quarterback. They trade for Tyrod Taylor. Like, why? They've got Drew Stanton and now Mayfield, and they also got Brogan Roback as a undrafted free agent. So
Brogan Roback sounds like some new millennial band. But listen, the Browns got a Brown, okay? So they're going to do their thing, and it's just – I feel bad for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Micah Hanneman joins joins a group that's got a bunch – he's one of eight safeties on the depth chart. Not saying he won't make it, but they brought in three undrafted free agents. So we'll see. I don't know where he'll – if he'll stick there. Tomasi LaLule, Colts, Tejon Karoma with the Chiefs. I like Tejon's chances to stick. He's one of two centers that they signed, but they had a waiver guy, and then they've got their starter. I think Karoma could stick, but again, I'm sticking mainly because I thought he was going to be an NFL draft choice a couple years ago, and it's just amazing to me that just didn't happen.
Karoma may stick. I got faith in Karoma.
All right. So, and a couple other guys signed, Tanner Baldery with the Browns as well, Handsome Tulule and Algie Brown with the Chiefs to join Tejon Karoma as well. Bad news for Harvey Longy is that the Patriots went hard in both, in both the draft as well as some undrafted free agents with bodies at linebackers. So he's going to have some challenge if he's healthy to make that roster and play. Obviously, Van Noy's position there is solid. So, Matt, let's stick with football. The big news out of BYU football land is the signing of, well, the announcement, I should say, that four-star quarterback Jacob Conover out of Arizona is going to his class of 2019, which saying that makes me feel old. He's going to become a Cougar. And he had scholarship offers at a little college known as Alabama.
So, roll tide, my friend.
So he is passing on a chance to show off his SEC speed with the SEC.
SEC speed.
So does that mean he's slower if he signs with BYU?
He automatically became slower when he signed with BYU.
That's unfortunate for him. Matt, your reaction to four-star quarterback Jacob Conover signing with the Cougars?
I'd love to give whoever it is credit that I saw tweet this, but I just don't remember who it is. I'm excited anytime BYU signs a big-time quarterback recruit, just like I was excited when they signed Ben Olsen and Jake Heaps.
I think I shouldn't misquote. I saw that tweet too. So
who was it? Because it was extremely clever.
Was it Teeples?
Maybe it was. I think it was Teeples. That sounds like a Teeples tweet.
Yeah, it does. Even if it wasn't, we'll give him credit for it.
But seriously, though, like, and I'm not saying that I believe that Conover is going to turn out like that, right? What I'm saying is this kid's going to go on a mission. We've got, there are people who are in eighth grade right now that are going to be playing college football before this kid does. So it's exciting. I'm excited for him. He's clearly a BYU guy. His mom has been retweeted into my timeline several times. She's hilarious, by the way, but also a huge BYU fan. Clearly, like, the BYU family, this is a dream come true for this kid. I think that part of it is very exciting for me. When you see somebody who grew up cheering for the team and they get to come in at a position like quarterback, I mean, that's just cool. He's clearly just super excited about it. And I hope he lives up to the billing, but we've got, what do we got? It's going to be at least three seasons out.
Yeah, 2021.
Before we see what he's really made of.
Would be the first time he's on a roster in 2021, which is a long time from now. Like you said, hard to get too wrapped up about it. Obviously, it will help with the ranking for the class of 2019, since, we didn't have any four-star recruits in the 2018 class. So This will help there for whatever that means. Friend of the podcast, Brandon Gurney, wrote a story that Conover had a really good connection with Kalani Sitake, and they talked, Matt, he said, not about football, but to quote him, it was about the person you're going to become, and he wants to develop his players, he meaning Sitake, as not just great football players, but as people who will make a difference in society. That really stood out. So that's a quote from Jacob Conover. Matt, what do you make of this quote? And overall, do you feel like this is something that actually, you know, do you think Sitake was the reason, or do you think it's probably more of, you know, in the end, he just wanted to be a Cougar?
I think he just wanted to be a Cougar. I think Sitake would have had to go in there and really lay an egg to blow this one up. I mean, seriously, I hate to go back and base up my entire opinion off of this kid's mom's Twitter account, but these people are like bleed blue Cougars.
Right.
And, you know, and we've talked about this before, right? Like if your kid was a 4-star recruit and was being looked at schools like Alabama, what would you do, right? And I've answered that question. I believe you've answered that question, but there are people out there that answer that question differently than I would. And there's kids out there that think about that differently than I would. And so I think that this kid was going to come to BYU unless it was a complete dumpster fire, right?
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
And in some ways, I mean, he could have assessed that it was and still decided to come.
Yeah.
So I think Sitake knew what to do. I think he understood what was important to this kid. This kid sounds in the interviews, it sounds like his focus was on going out on a mission and putting himself in a position to still be successful in football when he was done with that. And BYU is probably the best place to do that.
So,
BYU is among the best places to do it. There's other schools that do well with missionaries, but Alabama's not on that list.
And I don't know, he didn't specifically mention whether, he said Arizona State and BYU were cool with it. I have to take that means Alabama was not, even though he didn't say
that. I would imagine that Alabama was not as excited about it, but I think go ahead.
That Nick Saban, that doesn't sound like a Nick Saban thing.
No, I think you'd have to be a lot. You'd have to have something really special, I think, for Nick Saban to say he's going to hold a scholarship for you for 2 extra years.
Yeah, yeah. So,
while you're not going to be working out or playing football.
That's right. That's right. While you might bike a little bit during the day. So Matt, I'm going to table something for next week. In the Deseret News, Leif Peebler had a good article about, you know, basically all the 5, 4, 3, and 2-star quarterbacks over the last couple of decades that BYU, since that was a thing, that BYU has signed. And we're going to do something next week as part of our agenda. We're going to go through all of these guys and talk about what went right or what went wrong with each of these quarterbacks.
I'm actually really looking forward to that because this is a fascinating article.
Yeah, it's a cool list, but we'll.
And this might be the time like I can officially get the Riley Nelson stuff off my chest and apologize.
Yeah, as you should. So that stay tuned for next week. So Matt, James Lowe on Facebook says, "What is more likely to happen this season for the BYU offense? A quarterback throws for 350 yards. I hope over the course of a season that happens. They get more than that. 3,500 yards or running back rushes for 1,000 yards? Matt, more likely 3,500 yards from a quarterback or 1,000 yards from a running back?
I'm going with the 3,500 yards from a quarterback, but I don't ask me who it is because I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you can go back and listen to Jerem's commentary on that as well. It's hard to say. I think, you know, if you look at, there have been 17 1,000 yard rushing seasons in BYU history. Okay. So that, you know, that's something that happens a fair amount, 17 seasons. A lot of them have been recent. 3,500 yards, there have been 19 seasons where quarterbacks have thrown for 3,500 yards. Now, the last one feels like it was like a billion years ago, right? I mean, the last time we had one was, what, 2009, if I'm reading this list right?
That was a billion years ago. That's like a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, that's right, it is. Dropping some Solo references there, buddy. Nice job.
Who was that quarterback?
That's right. You're how old? You look pretty good. All right, so, you know, you take that into account. And by the way, you can have a very good season and not throw for 3,500 yards, right?
But it's a lot better if you do.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's an arbitrary number, right? Steve Sarkisian, 95, threw for 3,437 yards. Would you take Steve Sarkisian this year, 1995?
I would just count that as 3,500 yards, and I'd take Steve Sarkisian almost any year.
Now, granted, he threw for over 4,000 the next year, your year that you love. Tanner Mangum, of course, threw for about 3,400 yards his freshman year. Of course, Taysom did not eclipse those numbers. But anyway, I'm going to go with 1,000-yard quarterback, 1,000-yard running back, because we haven't had a quarterback go over 3,500 in many moons.
I thought you were going really bold there, that we were going to have a quarterback rush for 1,000 yards there.
Maybe. Zach Wilson thinks he can do it. He thinks he can rush for 1,000 yards. Matt, another football news, BYU and Utah State have extended their series through 2022. Can't they just extend it forever?
That's basically what this is, right? We're always going to play them, aren't we?
Unless something weird happens, I think we are going to have Utah State on the schedule, and it's just going to be bouncing back and forth. And I'm fine
with that.
Well,
it's important to keep the wagon wheel alive.
That's true. All right, Matt, a couple things here in basketball. Scheduled a home and home with Nevada that'll start this year. We will be going to Reno to gamble away a game with the Wolfpack.
See what you did there. I see what you did. Reno's a great little town.
It's very clever. Matt, this isn't really a basketball story, but it became a basketball story due to a tweet that kind of got things going controversy-wise afterwards. But CougFan82 on Twitter, that's at CougFan82. And by the way, if you want to do the tweet bag, you can do a lot of ways. You can do it on Twitter, at BYU_RiseShout, on Facebook at Facebook.com/RiseAndShout. You can do it via the email, and that is RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. And you can also do it on Instagram, at BYU_RiseShout on Instagram.
Did you just say via the email?
Via the email.
You can join us via electronic mail.
Shut up. You're an idiot.
Over the internet.
True or false, he says, and why or why not? You're already a very complicated CougFan82. All right. True or false, and why or why not?
Multiple questions.
You are happy to see the sinking ship that is the Salt Lake Tribune currently. False. I am not happy to see the sinking ship of the Tribune.
Is it bad if I'm indifferent?
No, you can be indifferent.
Okay, I'll go ahead and be... I'm indifferent to... I have nothing against the Trib. I don't read it. I avoid tweets about it. It is what it is.
All right. There you go. Also, are you surprised that Monson is still employed? #tweetbag. #climbon in.
#TribTears.
TribTears.
That feels a little low.
I have to say this. I am surprised Monson is still employed.
I'm not. Clicks, dude. It's all about clicks. It's all about clicks. Everybody clicks on that guy's stuff. BYU fans click on his stuff. Utah fans click on his stuff. Everybody clicks on that guy's stuff.
I've stopped clicking on his stuff.
It gets commented on. Of course that guy's still employed. That guy's not going anywhere. He will be the last man standing at the Trib. He will be the guy who turns out the lights.
And
it sounds like that might have happened soon, right? I mean, what, they had like 90 riders and they laid off 34 of them?
Yeah, that's...
Why do I even know this? I have all these statistics because everyone's talking about this so heavily on Twitter.
I did want to mention that friend of the podcast, Jay Drew, was one of those that was laid off after 28 years. Jay is a friend of mine. He's a really good guy. I think he has done a really good job covering the Cougars. I know some of our listeners are not massive fans of Jay. I'm a fan of Jay both as a reporter but also as a person. And he hired me when I was just married and needed some extra money to do some stringing and to cover Utah County College high school sports. for the Tribune. So I, you know, I hope and I know that Jay will land on his feet and hopefully doing something awesome. Matt, the story.
But the thing, I don't know. I'll let you go ahead. We'll get into my next point. I'll leave it alone.
Yeah, let's leave it alone. Jackson Emery rips the Tribune via a tweet, which I think he has since deleted, where he basically says, I'm not really that sad about all of this because those jerks roasted my brother without reason. Okay? And he has since come back and apologized and said, I should have handled this better than I did, which I think was the right response. Because his first tweet, quite frankly, when I read it, I thought, Jackson, you're better than that. That's not, I mean, okay, they may have done this. They may have mistakenly raked your brother through the coals. And seeing that his brother is coming back to BYU, and we have heard nothing from the NCAA or BYU about all the supposed, and I'm using air quotes here, benefits that his brother got, right? So I get his anger. That was one of those times where you needed to draft that tweet and delete it, right? Like,
yeah, that's like the Abraham Lincoln, right? You write the letter and stick it in your desk drawer.
That's right. That's right. And if you still feel that way tomorrow, still don't send it in this case. Matt, any other take on the Jackson Emery rip the Tribune story?
Well, I think if you go a couple of points, right? So, you know, it's like a third of their reporter pool, right? And not all of those people had anything to do with reporting on Jackson's brother, right?
Some
of them did, but the overwhelming majority of them had nothing to do with that. And even those who did, I mean, these are people with families that have lost their jobs. I mean, that's a bad day for anybody. I think you just leave them alone. You know, there's a couple of people, if they were to lose their jobs, that I feel like I would be tempted to pile on, but it's a pretty small group of people. I think mostly you just leave these people alone and stay out of it.
Yep.
Would be my recommendation.
For sure.
But, you know, it is what it is. And Jackson came back to his credit, apologized, admitted that he could have handled this situation better, and that he just got emotional about it and fired off a tweet. You know, and then he got it. The worst was, though, was him defending the tweet immediately afterwards, right?
It took him
a bit of a while. But that it is what it is. Everybody grows, you know, everybody learns, everyone moves on. I don't think that this, you know, people want to define their opinions about Jackson Emery based on the Twitter conversation after all this that happened. And I wouldn't do that any more than I would define any of those writers based on a single story that they followed.
Well,
so,
and the other part is he was defending his brother, right? And I mean, if somebody came after you, I'd just let him go after you, right? But in a lot of,
you don't even like each other though. Yeah. I mean, it just
changes things. But, you know, that's the other piece of this is he was defending his brother, and he's angry about how his brother was treated and all that stuff. And it obviously, like I said, I don't agree with the way he handled it. I thought as soon as I saw that tweet, I had that, you know, feeling in my gut, even though it wasn't my tweet, like, oh boy, that was just the wrong thing to tweet. But the flip side to that is, like you said, he made a mistake. He eventually owned up to it after getting hammered, and I think digging his hole a little bit deeper, he got his way out of it. But anyway, Matt, also in basketball news, Elijah Bryant worked out for the Jazz. He's also worked out for the Bucks, I believe, and has a few other workouts scheduled. Tim Jacobson from the tweet bag from the good old-fashioned email has something to report to us. He says, as you were boarding a plane and saw Elijah Bryant on a plane sitting in first class, and could say one thing in passing, what would you say? If a few rows later you saw Guy Holiday and could say one thing in passing, what would you say? Well, this just happened to me. I told Elijah good luck in the pros, and I told Guy Holiday to save us some receivers. I couldn't do any better, Tim. I think you nailed it.
Yeah, I think Elijah, I would have said something very similar, right? And I think that with Guy Holiday, you know, I know, and I've even given him some heat for stuff here, but I think that, you know, I might say something about, you know, appreciate what you did at BYU or whatever, but this is a fun game. This should become a game. This, instead of answering machine, we should every once in a while play a game where you're boarding a plane and you just saw so-and-so, what do you say?
So the new game is called Boarding a Plane.
Yes.
Because you've got, like, you're passing by them. You can't leave a rambling message like we do on Answering Machine.
No, and you can't do, and you're not allowed to do, like, the awkward celebrity thing, right? You have to say something very concise and discreet and not attract a lot of attention to yourself. You've got to be, like, not quite cool enough to just give the nod or just leave the guy alone, but definitely too cool to just totally get all over him and take a picture with him like I did the day after Steve Strasburg blew out his elbow.
So,
that's an actual story.
I know it is. I've heard it many times.
I actually did that.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like I need to write him a letter and
apologize. You've told it on the podcast like twice. I think this is the third time. You know, it's what I find clever, but it's not nice, is the, if you see a celebrity, you mention I loved you in something that was terrible. Like Tom Hanks, you say, I loved you in Bachelor Party. You know?
Or in a movie that they weren't actually.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
Tom Hanks, anyway. You were good in Funny Farm.
Yeah, you were really good. You were really good in Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Lord of the Rings is the best movie you've ever directed, Tom.
Yeah, you're so good at that. You're so good. So anyway, all right, Matt, our final shout tonight is courtesy of Mr. Justin D. Sweeney.
Sweeney!
That's at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter. He says this, which has you more excited? The recently announced Michael Jordan series, which is supposedly going to be 10 episodes, 1 hour long, ESPN and Netflix. You're already bored.
Oh, sorry. Were we still talking about that?
We're still talking about the Michael Jordan thing. Or Amazon's Lord of the Rings, $500 million, five-season series. Hashtag tweetbag. Hashtag he's still scared from your creepy voice. He just said
hashtag. Sweeney, I'm laying scared. Off the whispering just for you.
You said that before when you came back.
Actually, it's not just for him. It's for him and also a listener of ours who's not participated in the tweetbag, whose name is Darwin, who told me he's got the Twitter whispers. And so I decided to lay off for him.
Too. That's smart. All right, Matt. Which has you more excited? The Michael Jordan 10-hour series or the Amazon Lord of the Rings series?
I don't think I can watch 10 hours of Michael Jordan.
I'm done with MJ. I really am. Ever since his Hall of Fame speech where he was an absolute jerk, like, I'm just like, why do I want to give this? Why do I want to listen to this guy anymore?
Like, he might be the best player of all time.
Very likely could be. I loved watching him play basketball.
I do not need to watch a 10-hour long documentary on this.
No, I don't.
You know how many 30 for 30s I've seen on Michael Jordan? There's the Jordan Rides the Bus. There's the flu game, which, you know, I'm not even.
Is that like the pigeon drives the bus?
I don't know. I don't know that I believe he actually had the flu. But there's a huge conspiracy there, right?
Are you doubting him? Or that he ended up playing baseball because he was suspended for gambling? That's one of my favorite conspiracy theories.
No, I don't believe that. I don't either. I think he had a life-changing experience and decided he needed to go do that for him.
Yeah,
and that's what he did.
Which
right?
Actually, it's quite remarkable that a guy that hadn't played baseball since high school actually did okay in the minor leagues. Like,
and I can appreciate all that, and I think he's a phenomenal basketball player. I still don't need to watch 10 hours of this.
And by the way, I'm super excited about a Lord of the Rings 5-season series.
I will watch all of that.
Yeah, I will watch all of that. Matt, this will be. We'll ask again for themed episodes or ideas. For episodes or topics, the summer is long as we wait for football to begin once again. And so I would recommend folks that if you have something, do that. If you we also subscribe to us on iTunes. If you listen to this through the Deseret News, if you listen to this through maybe a link you've seen online somewhere, go to iTunes, your favorite podcast service, and subscribe. And, you know, we appreciate you guys downloading and listening. And, Matt, we'll be back next week, right? We'll be back next
week. I believe we will.
We will be back next week. Like I said, we're going to talk about quarterbacks and all the quarterbacks that have succeeded and the ones that have not. And we'll go one by one. 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, 2-star, no star. So you'll hear about that next week. Well, thank you all for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!